Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we review La Llorona. As always.
Very good pronunciation.
Thank you, I worked really hard.
Let's hear it one more time, come on.
La Llorona.
Very good, but I think it's pronounced La Llorona.
Yeah. Oh man, hard part's over. The rest is easy. John will give us the plot in 5 words, and we'll go into our first thoughts, and then after we'll go into a deeper spoiler analysis.
Yes, let's do that. But if you want to play along at home, every time either one of us decides to say La Llorona, or La Blah Blah Blah, take a drink. So in 5 words or less, I will describe this film as war crimes haunt aging asshole.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm glad you found a fun way to say that, because this movie is deadly serious.
I had a tough time with this one.
Okay.
I guess it's going into a bit of a spoiler, but I couldn't like reasonably put in La Llorona. Take a drink. Into this like 5-word analysis, because I didn't think it was like it would have been fair. I don't think it would have been fair. So,
yeah, same. I think this movie is deadly serious about a lot of heavy serious topics, and there are, you know, thought provoking horror elements to it. You know what I mean? Do you want to give us our first thoughts?
Okay, like initial thoughts. And then I'll give my overall thoughts later. But I feel like these people that made this film, or I guess specifically this one guy, Jairo Bustamante or J-Ro, right?
J-Ro.
J-Ro Bustamante. I feel like he's really influenced by a certain director, screenwriter that we all love. And I felt a lot of that coming through. Guillermo del Toro's like older stuff, I saw that like really playing into this.
Okay.
Like if you talk about like The Devil's Backbone or anything after that. I'm just kidding. Because I can't name them right now. Sorry. Day After Christmas.
We're so prepared. Because I was thinking the same line. I was thinking of the guy who did The Others. But I don't have his name either.
Oh yes, wait, is that's the same guy that did The Orphanage? Is that the same guy?
Yeah.
I think, or I don't know. We could be totally wrong too.
Might be, yeah.
And if you're listening at home, La Llorona, take another drink.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say, for me, my first thoughts would probably be: I really like this movie. This was excellent. Really well done movie. You know, it's slow, it's kind of like intelligent, it's very thought provoking and I like that it's kind of like there's all these like political things going on, and yet it's kind of only surrounding only one, it's only really taking place at one, at this general's house, right? And right, yeah. I feel like we're just confined to this one era, and it's like suffocating, you know what I mean? And so all these things start happening to this really like privileged family. And I really like the movie. Really, really like the movie.
Yeah. I mean, I like the movie, but I'll give reasonings to why I felt a bit of a disconnect.
Yeah, I think one of the issues would be the end for me. And I think one of the things that may take people out of this movie is it's a very slow-paced movie. Like, meticulously slow-paced.
And I will also say, I don't know, I don't think this is really spoiling anything. I feel like the idea of La Llorona wasn't, like, tacked on, but it was, like they're trying to use it, like, as a vehicle to, like, progress certain parts of the story, but it didn't need to even be... It didn't need to exist. Like, this movie, outside of trying to use the folklore, would have been beautiful on its own, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I really liked that they kind of had a new way of telling that story about the La Llorona. And,
right, yeah.
I thought it was like a nice twist on the story, kind of a reinterpretation. Taking something that happened in Guatemala and then sort of adding a supernatural elements to the tale. I would say that this movie is like there wasn't a lot of like cuts or anything. It's very like static shots. We just cut scene to scene, and it really adds to the atmosphere, which I think they did a really good job of capturing.
I think, yeah, it's very a storyteller type of movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it does have horror elements, of course, you know, but because it's essentially like a haunted house movie, but not in a traditional sense.
Yeah, I mean, that was a problem. There wasn't a whole lot of explanation as to what the connection to the weeping woman is. Because at no point, like, if this is supposed to be the beginning of the ghost story, like, if this is the first time the ghost comes out, I didn't feel a real connector. Maybe we should go through the story beat for beat, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more, because I had a problem with it being a La Llorona movie, and then it being what it is something that really again, towards the end, kind of turned me off to it, because I was like, okay, I feel like they were really trying to battle with what kind of a movie it was. And they were definitely like weighing on one side heavier than the other.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. We could just take it piece by piece. And I think it opens very alarmingly. It's like striking, because we have this group of women sitting in a circle and they're all just praying, you know, like.
Right. I feel bad. I straight up thought that I'm like, oh, we're meeting our like antagonist right away. Like, this is like a ghost or evil woman, right? Like, oh no, she's it's like the close-up shot of her face, and then like she's like doing this thing, and like she's got like a real gaunt face, and she's very kind of pale. This should not matter. I apologize for even bringing this up. I have really bad teeth. She had like bad teeth too, so I just assume like, oh, this is like a character trait for this, like, this must be La Llorona. Like, and then they start to pull out. I was like, oh no. Okay.
She's just old.
Yeah. She's just old.
No. But they do play, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I think later on the movie, they do play with the fact that she does look very similar to the classic La Llorona type, right? Like, she's all in white hair. You know what I mean? White complected. All those traits play into the sort of traditional representation of the character, but they kind of subvert it. So I think that was sort of the intention of the filmmaker with her look and stuff like that. But
also I think it's important what she was saying. You know, like, it was obviously a prayer.
Right. Yeah.
But certain things she was saying were like, "Well, use us, use me," or I don't know if she said me, but she said, like, use us as a vessel, use us to, like, explain, use us to whatever. And I think that's, like, important later on in the movie, because it plays into that, too.
Right, and this movie sort of begins where it ends. We'll kind of leave it there. Right. Yeah. And then we meet our antagonist, I would say. We meet the war criminal father. So essentially, the movie is this father's on trial for war crimes against the Mayan people, and
The Maya people.
Excuse me. And they he has a wife who's he has a wife who's not very nice,
unconditionally like just a number one fan, supportive, like her husband can do no wrong type of woman. Old school type of, right?
No, yeah, exactly.
Who's
yeah.
also the same woman that
who opens the movie with the chanting, I mean, praying. Like, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I feel like we're gonna explain this movie and then I'm gonna decide this is like the perfect movie.
And then we meet his daughter, who's like a physician, and then we meet her her daughter, who's just a young kid, basically, sort of just caught up in it. And then they have like they sort of show that there's generations of women here, right? That's just, that are really the focus. And as much as it is about the plot gets kicked off with the general and everything and what he did, he's less as important as sort right. of yeah. the people, the women that are in his life. So, and then, you know, after that, we have a very striking tragic scene of a Maya woman who is at a recounting her story of, you know, being attacked and being raped, and she's testifying in front of a court and everything.
And I like her little send off at the end is like, I'm not, I also appreciate that they just say everything in their native tongue and they always have like a translator. I guess we get subtitles later, but like, you know, she says, I wasn't embarrassed to tell you this story. Hopefully you're not embarrassed to do the right thing.
Yeah, it was powerful. It was just like hits you right away. The severity of what's going on. And they convict him. And he ends up going to some sort of cardiac arrest or something. And then he ends taken out. And then we cut to the next scene. And we hear over here on the news that he gets off on a technicality, right?
Yeah, and because he was sick, you know, which kind of, I don't know if I should do this, but kind of reflects our own politics right now. You know,
not at all.
They just gave him a pardon, like, oh, you know, and everybody's super happy about this decision. Everybody in the, like, their version of the Supreme Court, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay.
Yeah, only they're not. And the people begin to riot in Guatemala, and they basically surround the general's house. And they are protesting. You know what I mean? They're protesting his him getting off, basically. So the family gets back to the house, and all of the workers, all of the really kind of dark skinned workers, all quit, and they need more servants. They have like one servant who is loyal to them. But
right, you know what? We're missing something. So they did quit. I'm sure because of the protest, but in between that is the first time the antagonist wakes up in the middle of the night and he's got like the oxygen mask hooked up and all that jazz, right? Because he hears somebody weeping. He hears like what's supposed to be our like ghost crying. And it kind of like leads him on like this like kind of, he's wandering around the house, like he goes into the bathroom. Then he goes into like the room next door, which is, I guess, like a closet, and it's like a static shot, so you can see both sides. And he goes and grabs a gun, right? And you can see like he's got like an arsenal of guns. And he goes into the kitchen at some point because he keeps hearing somebody crying. And from behind him, his wife is walking into the like the dark kitchen. And then that's when I personally thought like, oh, that's her, right? That's gonna be La Llorona. And it wasn't. It was his wife, and he shot at her with his gun.
Yeah, I thought she shot her. I thought she was dead. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, but because she dropped so quick. But yeah. I think it was just like the actress dropping, like to
dropping out. Yeah.
And then that's when you kind of get like more introduced to like his like number one dude, his like right hand guy, who seems like a good guy actually. The guard.
He's just doing his job. Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, and he's like. Kind of like begging with him, like, you heard her, right? You heard that? Did you hear a woman crying or whatever? And I think everybody kind of says, like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then when they ask about it later, they're like, no, we didn't hear anything. We don't know what he's talking about.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So he's starting to go crazy.
Exactly. and he's completely convinced.
The workers, I was gonna say, I think that's when the workers kind of ultimately decide, like, oh no, they heard her. Or the one of the younger ones is like, he heard her. So that's where I start to get confused, because I think this establishes that this ghost does exist in a folklore already. Do you see where I'm starting to get confused a bit, like, later in the film?
Because
they talk about it like, oh, he heard her. And then that's when they leave. They're like, we can't be a part of this, or whatever.
Yeah, they did hear her after all, right? The workers, that's what you're talking about?
Or maybe, or...
Because at first they deny it, right? They adamantly deny they heard anything. They just want to get paid. They just want to leave. And of course, the wife doesn't want to pay them. And then they all kind of like, yeah, we heard stuff. So I think I took it more as like foreshadowing, like, okay, something's coming to the house, and this house is not people. The house is becoming, I don't know, what is it? Like, what do you call it? Like, evil things are coming to the house. Because soon after that was when we get the actual La Llorona coming to the house. And she comes in as a maid from, she ends up coming as a maid, right? To help out.
Right, yeah. And her name is... Alma.
Alma, yeah.
Which they have like a pretty cool, like, spooky introduction to her, like, moving into the crowd, and she just kind of stops. And I think the antagonist, what's his name? Is it Enrique?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? The general.
He is staring out the window, seeing all the protesters, and like kind of locks eyes right on her moving up, like he recognizes her, right?
Yeah.
And then she kind of, like, while still kind of tilting her head down, like, pops her eyes up and just stares at him through the, like, looking straight into the window.
Right. That was one of the most chilling shots in the movie. Just her, yeah, just so cool. In the crowd of audience. Yeah. Totally sets up the mood and the tone for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, definitely. It was cool. So yeah, I guess we get introduced to her, and she's the only person that's willing to come work with, how do you say her name?
Alma?
Valerenia?
Nailed it.
Who's like the main housekeeper, and she's also like a part of that indigenous tribe to that part of Guatemala. Uh-huh. And, she's like trying to show Alma pointers and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then while this is happening too, Alma's doing this thing with the youngest daughter, the granddaughter, seeing how long she can hold her breath underwater.
Yeah, and they're already setting up that, like, that's one of the traits of the folklore, is that they take children. So, right, yeah. So she's already kind of like, hey, you know, manipulating her, kind of getting her on her side, befriending her, and, you know, that relationship's building. And soon thereafter, she arrives at the house, everybody starts having all kinds of issues. Like, the mother, she like, starting, her eyes are starting to get swollen.
And conjunctivitis almost, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She begins to have, like, flashbacks. Or she dreams, really.
Yeah, you know what? No, I think you nailed it. I think it's more of, like, a... They play it out more like flashbacks. Like, she was freaking out that she was, like, having these memories.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And they kind of reveal whose memories they are, right, at the end.
Right.
Where, why she's thinking in this, which I think is a nice little clever thing they did there.
Also, because, like you said, she's in the white gown, her hair's like white and long, and mm-hmm. she's like screaming and pleading the whole time, and yeah, it's pretty cool. I did like that.
Yeah, and then it's more or less just like a slow descent, right? A slow descent. For each of the characters. Basically, her daughter kind of, I think, comes to terms with her dad's, I don't know, what is it, his non-indigence towards the indigenous people there. You know, she seems to kind of reconcile with it and starts to believe first of the things her dad did, and her and his generals.
Despite what the mom keeps trying to like tell her, because it like at the beginning of the movie, kind of the beginning, I guess like a quarter in, they have like a couple of conversations, and I think one of them was about the women that they came forward and testified against her dad, and she talks to her mom about it, and her mom kind of says, essentially like, oh, well, no, they threw themselves at these soldiers because they needed jobs, and, you know, your father felt pity for them, so gave them jobs, and then they basically were just whores anyway, so they were just trying to, you know, manipulate the soldiers into doing stuff.
Yeah.
And even then, I don't think the daughter really bought that. Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole time the daughter's kind of like, no, clearly he did something bad.
Yeah, and I think one of the creepiest, disgusting scenes is that the dad, Enrique, he's kind of like drawn to the woman, Alma.
Right, yeah.
So she's like, he's seeing her, he sees her cleaning up, and he's like watching her. Even though at this point, the protesters have thrown rocks in their windows, and they're basically told, stay away from the windows. He's still on the balcony checking her out. And then he has another episode where he goes and hears her, or he sees her actually, right, swimming in the pool. And then he again tries to follow her and everything.
And that was cool. I just want to describe, it was like a night shot, and then they lit it to where you kind of only saw the whatever fog effect they were doing for the pool, and then she climbs out of it, right? And then I guess the idea is she walks to the bathroom, and I really did appreciate that the ground was never wet.
Yeah, that's like a common movie thing, is to wet the ground for effects.
Right, but I don't think it was wet. Like once when she was walking out of the pool, and I was like, oh, that's... So he's like trying to follow her, right? And then is that the moment that leads him to the bathroom?
He ends up going to the place where the maids are staying, and because then there's water all over the floor.
Right. Yeah, and she's in the bathtub, right?
Yeah, she's like bathing or something, right? Or cleaning something, and and he's just watching her, and then his wife walks in, and sort of like wakes him up, and he's like, oh, I can't breathe, or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I don't know where I am. He's just like a complete dirtbag.
One of the realest moments of that too was when like the main housemaid is in the bed, there's like a quick moment where she's still facing away from what the action that's happening behind her, but she's like shaking. like almost violently, like, oh, like she doesn't want to turn around, she doesn't want to like deal. Which I thought was interesting, because that suggests that he's probably done stuff to her too, even though the mom has suggested that the main housemaid is probably the half-sister to the daughter.
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah, they kind of throw that in there.
But yeah, and then what happens right after he like comes to and there's no water in the ground anymore, he gets taken away by like the right-hand man guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter tries to apologize for what had just happened. And then the wife at the end is like, and maybe come in the clothes that you came in, because your uniform's too tight-fitting. We don't need that around here.
Yeah,
That's the way... It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So even though she's going through it, like, she just refuses to see.
Yeah, she just makes excuses and turns a blind eye to things, even though she clearly knows what's going on and knows the type of man she married and type of man he is, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's the largest part of it. I mean, then we kind of get to the end, which is where we kind of get the justice. And it goes kind of ties back to the flash. I keep saying flashback, so I think it's more of just like a dream sequence, because we see before this, we see that Enrique discovers that there's something by the bed. He just points at it, right? He's like, this is what's going on. This is what's wrong. You know, this is why I feel bad, or something to that effect, right? And they move the bed, and there's like some, it just looks kind of like water damage, maybe dirty.
Oh, yes. That's right.
And then the maid, she says, oh, yeah, that's a spell or something, right?
So, it's like, this is black magic. We need to, like, get rid of it. And he's kind of like, basically says, I don't give a shit what it is. Clean it.
Yeah.
And then that's when she has a conversation with Alma one-on-one. And then she starts to question more of where she came from. Because she's like, you know, I have a friend that might come in tomorrow or whatnot. And she said she's never heard of you. Where are you from again? And she said, well, I'm in the deepest part of the mountain, you know, far away this place or whatever. And she starts to say, do you mean the part of the mountain where the military base was at? And Alma kind of like quietly says, yes. And then that's when this lady's like, how old are you again? And she said, you know what? I don't really remember. And then that's where that scene kind of like leaves you. And I was like, that's
yeah. Cool. it's a little bit.
People are starting to catch on.
I thought that was a weird scene because of how it's left. They just sort of cut after she says, I don't even know or something, right? And then they cut away. I'm like, yeah. I have a lot of questions. That's what I was thinking myself.
But that's where that's one of those moments I was talking about where I'm starting to feel like a disconnect from like, this is a really great story, but you don't need to tack on like the folklore or try to reinvent it for this. This is like okay on its own.
Right.
Then there's moments like that where I'm like, okay, so.
Yeah, there really is no mystery. There's no mystery that shit's going on. I think that's maybe one of the things that.
No.
We definitely know shit's going on. Just like from the tension and from everything, there's no mystery who is going to be La Llorona. You know, there's no mystery. We know exactly who it's going to be and why things are happening. Even if you have maybe the basic understanding of who she is, you kind of know that, oh, yeah, it's this girl. It's the maid. It's the new maid that came to the house. So,
which I wish they had followed through with, though, because even though the way it kind of gets resolved is like, I like it. It just kind of like, okay, so is this really a ghost story? Is this like, what is this supposed to be? Like, usually La Llorona is like associated with like an evil presence because of something similar, right? I think the original or like one of the oldest versions of the story is this woman who is very beautiful and lived in like a poor part of someplace, kind of like where Alma comes from. Is pursued by a rich person, and then that rich person like gets bored with her and marries like a rich, pretty woman, and she goes crazy and drowns her kids because she knew that the guy was going to take her kids away, and then she becomes evil because of this guy, right? And in this one, there's kind of like a that's not really played into the story.
No, it's just sort of taking the basic folklore of the Weeping Woman and treating her sort of as a ghost, vengeance, revenge type character instead of, you know, following the sort of classic tale. And, but yeah, and that's basically how it ends. It's, throughout the movie, the mother, she's having these dreams and we realize the dreams that she's having are actually Alma's life up to where she sees the general. General had no sympathy for her, killed the kids. And so therefore she became, you know, La Llorona. And then we cut back into the movie and I forgot to mention, they get into like a praying circle, right? And then they are...
Yes, because they, right after, there's like a scene, which I wasn't really sure about, but and Enrique starts to follow Alma and at this point realizes kind of who she is. And then she like, goes into the pool that's covered in like banana leaves or whatever from wherever, right? It's supposed to be like associating from the memory. And she's also pretending the granddaughter is doing that thing where she's trying to breathe underwater, but she took her grandfather's oxygen tank so she could breathe underwater.
Yeah, the longer or whatever. Yeah.
And then Enrique's seeing Alma never sees the granddaughter. So he grabs his gun and shoots at her and shoots the granddaughter's arm. And that's when everybody freaks out and they bring him into the house. And then they start to look outside, they start to see more people pop up, but they're obviously like ghosts. Like there's no question about it to them. They're like, oh, this is bad.
Right. Yeah.
And then that's when like the main maid is like, okay, we need to do that thing you were talking about where they're like getting in a circle, lighting a bunch of candles, getting sugar, yeah, all that jazz. And I think they're trying to do like a seance of some sort, right?
Basically like a protection circle or right. something. And
yeah, something like that, right?
Yeah, and then they...
and then that's when... What was I going to say?
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, then they basically, like, those events happen again, and they play out, and the mother sees why she's having these whatever dreams. And then we cut back to the movie, and she basically killed her husband. Stood over
him. Right, yeah.
Strangled them to death, you know? And then that's it. That's pretty much it. I mean...
That's kind of it, yeah. They cut to, like, a funeral, and everybody's, I guess, mourning his death. But, you know, they're really not, you know?
No, they're not.
And clearly nobody talked about it. Nobody said what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
But then this is where I'm like, okay, what is this story supposed to be? Because another one of the generals, I guess, that you see in the flashbacks is at a courthouse, and he's trying to, like, take a piss at a urinal.
Mm-hmm.
And he hears a woman cry.
Yeah.
Ooh. And then the way it kind of ends is, like, he sees the water flooding, and he keeps hearing the woman crying. I'm like, okay, so is this woman going to, like, go be a maid at this guy's house and, like,
yeah.
his wife memories? Or, like...
Is he going to die there or in the house? In the
yeah, I know.
Bathroom? Good point. I think it was just one of those, like, foreshadowing that all those guys are going to pay. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah. So, yeah, that... I thought that was cool, but yeah. Again, that's where I started questioning more of like what was going on in the movie. But aside from that, if like in my head, like the movie, of course, is like great the way it is. Like these guys worked really hard on it. It shows. It's like a beautiful film. But like I probably would have cut out those moments, like left Alma in, you know, left it as like a ghost, mm-hmm. you know, didn't have to be La Llorona, you know, like.
Yeah, okay. It,
you know, just like a simple ghost story. And I would have thought like this is a wonderful film.
Yeah, no, and I see your point. I think, yeah, I thought it was a really well-made, interesting story. It's a little bit of a slow movie, probably for some, even though it's, what, about an hour and 40 or so. It was very slow-paced, intentionally so,
yeah, yeah.
But still, I thought the movie was very effective either way. So do you want to get to...
Oh, I did have a question.
Okay, hit me.
So I was... I know it doesn't matter, but because they introduced him as a character, when, like, you know, the main bodyguard gets woken up, he's, like, doing his job going through the house, and then the two kids of what you find out later is supposed to be Alma's kids that got drowned grab his hand and say, like, they... tell them to be quiet by like kind of doing the shushing movement with their like finger, their index finger and like their mouth, and tell them like, oh, come with us. And then he just disappears.
Yeah. I
don't think he's in that last scene where, yeah.
I was going to say, I don't remember him in that last scene. So he's probably dead, you know?
I guess. Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing I can take for. I'd have to go back and rewatch it. Right. I mean, see if he's in that, small funeral, whether he's there somewhere,
right, yeah.
You know? But yeah, no, I mean, just, did you want to have any last thoughts or?
Yeah, I think people should watch this movie, but maybe don't expect, like a traditional La Llorona film. And I'm not saying like I wanted like the Curse of La Llorona, cause that was like real cheesy, but
yeah.
You know, like something like the actual folklore and the tale itself is like real creepy. Like you hear it once and then you automatically assume the canal by your house is the place where it happened. Like everybody just started talking about that growing up. Yeah. Right. Everybody's scared.
That's so true. Yeah. That's incredibly true.
It's like, hey, you want to like sneak out of the house like at 2 a.m. and walk the canal? Like, I don't know. I don't want to die.
Yeah. No, that's 100% true.
If you don't go into it expecting that and you expect something like a really well played out story of, I want to say it's very political, but it kind of really gets like it hits a nerve at some point, because what I thought they did a good job of is at the beginning, they kind of set it up like this guy is not a bad guy and he's like, oh, what are they going to do to help him?
Right.
And it's like, oh, he's sick, but he's like... constantly smokes cigarettes, doesn't give a shit, drinks whiskey.
Mm-hmm. And
then, like, very quickly you realize he's like a piece of shit. So you're just like waiting for all this to unravel and get his upcomings and all that comeuppance. I keep saying upcomings as a joke with my partner, and sometimes I say this shit out loud and people probably look at me like I'm an idiot. But, you know, like, it's a very satisfying revenge tale, I would say.
Yeah. How many sexy spooky bones would you give it?
So this is going to be a difficult one for me, because I cannot truthfully say, because the movie was spooky. Was it scary? No, not at all. Honestly, like, there wasn't.
Was it sexy?
A little bit. Our main actress here, she has to be wet all the time because she's, you know, La Llorona, but like with this like long fucking beautiful like straight hair that's just like, she looks like an anime character like half the time in my head. Like, she looked like The Grudge sometimes, like, yeah, with the hair and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give it 7 out of 10. I think it deserves 7
spooky sexy bones
out of 10, because it was a great story. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, I think I'm more or less in the same line. I'll do the same, 7 out of 10 sexy spooky bones. Yeah. Quick side note. Nice. This is Guatemala's entry into this year's Academy Awards, their foreign movie. So we'll see how it does this year.
Oh, nice.
All right. Thank you for listening. And next week we are going to review The Hidden.
The Hidden. And remember, guys, stay spooky. Okay, bye. I love you.